Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. Today is Wednesday, August 16th, 2017. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for an administrative workshop. We've got two out of three present. Commissioner DeYoung, I think, just stepped into his office to get his laptop. However, these ones are fairly routine in nature and not a policy decision. I think Commissioner Morgan and I can start the discussion. There he is. So we're looking at renewing a couple of the leases for the Cave Junction County building. A couple of amendments make adjustments given the nature of the building is under the county's property portfolio might change a little bit, nature, how we treat it. Might not always be in our possession over the duration of the extension of these terms. How I read them may expire. This new lease amendments extended to August 31st of 2018 and provide for a consistent 60-day notice by either party, actually, whether or not they're going to continue in that lease to the full term. Those are the main adjustments.
Yep, you summed it up very well. This is something that has become somewhat routine. Previously, I believe with Illinois Soil and Water, we were renewing once every 2 years. For the sake of consistency, this brings it to a one-year extension, and you're correct. Both of these two entities, Illinois Valley Soil and Water, as well as Illinois Valley Baptist Church, have 60-day out clause, either as directed by the county or directed by the specific entity themselves.
And that's in written notice and stuff. So if in the event that we made a sale and the new purchaser wasn't interested in continuing that lease, at least they'd have 60 days out. That's really not, is that standard in the industry, typical for most leases? I don't want to do something.
It's the minimum.
I don't want to do something negative for our leaseholders, but it's also not a lot of money that they contribute to that facility. Are we at a market rate on those?
We are below market rate on those.
Okay.
In fact, our facilities department actually runs in the red on 102 North Redwood Highway each and every month.
One of the challenges that I have with being below market, it's kind of like an issue we had about 4 or 5 years ago with collecting, what's that fee we do? What do? Notary service in the clerk's office, and it was said, well, we should charge whatever the industry is charging, because if we're providing that service for free, then people who are providing that out in the community see that as county subsidized tax dollars undermining, which is basically what an argument could be made for people who have property. There's vacant property in Cave Junction that could provide a lease space for either of these tenants, but they would go to the county first because their rate is lower, even if it isn't ideal.
Well, I can speak to that. There's a specific Oregon revised statute that, due to the fact that these are tax exempt entities and they have the tax exempt exception as presented to our assessor's office, mm-hmm. we're required to set their lease amount below market rate. That's the benefit of being tax exempt. That allows them to keep that tax exemption.
I don't like that at all. That seems like a double, you know, not only are you not paying taxes, but we're mandated by state statute to provide them a lease at a sub-market rate. That sounds ridiculous.
That's
they should pay over market rate because they're not paying taxes.
Right. But the ORS specifically says it must be below market rate.
Well, does it give any parameters as to how much below market rate?
No. If it meets or exceeds market rate, they would no longer be eligible for their tax exemption.
I would really like to get out of the real estate business out there. It just doesn't make a lot of sense, and I don't think it's in the best interest of the county to keep doing that. But that's just one step forward. We don't need to belabor the subject unless there's something somewhat controversial on these two extensions. Otherwise, they're fairly administrative in nature and can go on the consent calendar next week. Without objection, that's where they'll move.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you.
Item number two is Public Works. We've got two orders for the board. Order number 2000, let's just make sure that Commissioner DeYoung is fully connected. Maybe in the meantime, Mr. Brandis can kind of discuss the issue, even if you can't see it.
I didn't have any chance. Which one is on first?
Order number 2017-039, in the matter of installing a stop sign on Adams Way.
Yep.
Second item is order number 2017-040, in the matter of regulation of a motor vehicle parking on a portion of Leonard Road.
So the first one, fairly straight ahead, stop sign request in front of the board. Dave Adams Subdivision, this is phase three of High Ridge Terrace, which is out there near Pine Tree Lane, Plum Tree Lane, one more road west of there, so kind of that area in there. Yeah, fairly straight ahead. It's just kind of getting out of those punch list items as that thing is ready to go forward.
It does kind of bring up the subject of after this is brought to road standard, county's road standards and all of that, we're going to adopt that as a county-maintained thoroughfare.
Correct.
So I missed the meeting on Tuesday with the board having the discussion about the review.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was out of town still. But what I'd like to see is, I don't know if it was discussed or if that's something you're working on, is kind of looking at the Douglas County model of saying, you know what, our portfolio is rather large. We are going to have some challenges in the future, even with this. This is your copy, actually, of what AOC is putting out as a review of the transportation package that the state just passed. But just making sure that we're doing the right thing by, are we accepting more miles of roads into the county's portfolio? Is that a wise decision? You know, what's the bang for the buck? What's the loss if we adopted a Douglas County model of saying we're all stocked up with the portfolio of roads we have, the 560, 80, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
We're not taking any more. Mm-hmm. And how does that work out? I think they're well along the way of this. That ship has sailed on this one, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So
my intent.
But I brought up that very issue on your behalf earlier in the week.
Thank you.
Yeah, and my intent would be, as we're moving forward with not only the items that we now actually are able to fund somewhat as part of the Public Works Review study, but with the TSP that's coming forward, I would see modeling that out forward, just giving an idea to the board of here's how many miles or portions of miles we take on in a year, and I'm guessing it's probably less than one on average. What's that cost look like? How does what does that change to our ongoing forward? And it's a small amount, but obviously that is a bigger discussion too for the local building community and all, where we say the M word. So
one of the other considerations that we had when we were going through the regional pilot project is we had more developable properties that hadn't come on than actually both other counties combined.
Wow.
So the potential mm-hmm. of setting a precedent, you know, kind of like a line in the sand, even if it's 5-10 years down the road, mm-hmm. might be a really good time to have that discussion mm-hmm. when we're only doing a mile mm-hmm. a year. What happens when we're doing 10 of those?
Potentially, sure.
Or
sure.
more. I just
do we charge SVCs or anything else?
Do not. Effectively, all we do is recover costs for, you know, driving inspections, the road inspections, those kinds of things. So, yeah, there is nothing there.
The other thing we don't do is we don't have, isn't there some sort of a local revenue stream on a gas tax up to 3% that theoretically local municipalities can impose to try to recapture local gas transportation dollars?
3% or 3 cents?
3 cents, I think.
Three cents.
Well, and Commissioner DeYoung, I think it was, had an interesting idea yesterday about even kind of a split between if you're going to have a semi-private street. I think, mm-hmm. yeah, you brought that yep. up. I have never heard of that concept, but that's maybe the other way to split the baby, is to say something like the county is responsible for everything outside the fog lines, ditches, culvert clinics, and it's an HOA that does the surfacing.
And the counter to that was, Arthur's response was, it actually could be attached to property tax collection versus an HOA. You can't force an HOA necessarily, but the way to have the partnership would be a...
Because they can change the HOA bylaws by a majority vote
yeah.
of the HOA.
Yeah,
so you
right.
started out as like, oh, we'll do that. And then they yeah. say, well, we can't afford it.
And you want some kind of hook because of then, yeah, it's an HOA type thing that ignores the road service and it fails and it all falls into the ditches. Now you've again publicize that cost. So, but it's an interesting concept. I think
we're going to have plenty of time to talk about yeah. this. I just don't. Sure. I don't think the stop sign is the reason we talk about it. But
yep.
it's here, and I missed it. So,
yeah.
thank you for.
And following up on one other item, I've talked with legal pursuant to the last street plug crossing that we did, where we talked about the board being okay with Public Works having the authority to sign off on street plug crossings, stop signs, and shorter length road closures. So they've at least got that in their queue that was of interest to start down that road.
And we can do that by board order or resolution.
Delegate some of that road authority.
And I think we wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind. I like the nexus of the liaison just saying, yep, that is... What I like the liaison doing is saying it rises to that level or not, and it not being your decision to say, oh, well, I didn't think there was any problem with... We won't be holding you responsible. We'd be holding the liaison responsible, and that's always kind of good policy,
in
my opinion. So, great.
Okay. The other one we have here is to the board is also the road authority to designate a no parking zone. This project started as the result of a request from School District 7 with Redwood School. They wanted a crosswalk installed there. Like all the other schools, we've had this discussion, at least tangentially, that no one rides the bus anymore. You've got lots of folks dropping off their kids, so pretty much in front of every school in the county and across the state and the nation, it's a mess compared to what it used to be. So they were interested in a crosswalk there. As we got to looking at this, we had some fear with the amount of parking that occurs along that south side of Leonard Road there. There's not enough visibility. So we made the decision to say, you know what, if we can get the parking stripped back here, and I don't know if you've got it on your attachment, but effectively, we're talking about 7 or 8 cars here. School felt like that would not be a significant impact, and they're actually going to look at getting some additional parking on site there. But that gives you a clear zone so you don't have kids effectively darting out through parallel parked cars there. It's going to be a joint project. We are going to be putting in the ramps both sides to attach it. The city's going to be putting in the rapid flasher beacons, but the hope is to have that all put in before school starts. We did bid open on the two, tried to bid open on the two ramps yesterday and had no takers for the cement work. Not surprising, so we're falling back to plan B, which will either be the school district, maybe has some folks, or maybe we can pop a couple guys off of blade patching, but it's, as with everything else, nobody is interested in small.
Is there an opportunity to redesign that in the off season to where they have a loop through like Highland? Highland School has a loop through and then people just drop people off and go.
I think there is, and when we talked to them, the other thought being, though, is not knowing where, if South Middle School ultimately ends up out there, because they've got the property that basically sits right here. You got the fire station, the corner up here. They've got this property. So if that happened, maybe even you're looking at a full loop because, yeah, it is a mess. You've got folks that use Harvest to stay out of the way because otherwise you got to go all the way out there to, like, South River Road. So it's really gotten to be a mess out there. But the school sounded amenable to looking at something on site to make it more of a...
I think it would be a great idea, not for this year, but this, because I always hate to take away right away and...
Right. And with the crosswalk there and minimal improvements, we're not putting in anything you'd say, geez, I hate to rip that out 2 years from now. So school district seemed happy with it. It's going to be a fairly low-bore project cost-wise, and it's a good collaborative between the three agencies. So
there's some real positives to having a no parking in that area, I think, for the fire element working. Worst-case scenario, if there's a fire when kids are dropping off, they can't see past the car parked there, and it's a real cluster of stuff.
Yeah, just further hamstrings it with that fire clear zone. It's just one more thing to work around out on the street. So
okay.
Well, then one of these days will be the Redwood School will be on the Housewives of Josephine County or something. I have a local.
How long have you been trying to work that one in?
Don't roll your kids off of school.
Tangential. Be generous.
They're having the bike ped aspect of schools.
I'm just waiting for them to add another bridge from, you know, the fourth bridge that never happened. Half of the school district that feeds Redwood is off of Bridge Street here.
Yep.
It's just odd divisions.
Yeah.
But it's not my job.
And the kids live across the street from Parkside go out to Fleming. Yes. I mean, not Fleming.
Fort Benoy and, yeah.
Kind of like the turn-only lane I showed you over at Vilas Road.
Someday.
Interesting.
Those are both consent, in my opinion. They're not changing policy, and they don't have a big fiscal impact. They don't have a fiscal impact. So,
do we need to create an order, though, to allow Public Works through the liaison to approve? That would be something that we should request.
Administrative, yeah.
At least I've pinged legal, so we can help them work something up.
I think it's cumbersome to have the board approve stop signs.
Street plug crossings, there's no reaction.
We just need to delineate the specific situation.
Well, I question the spelling on that.
Yeah. Well, then maybe that's not the liaison department.
If you really want to check in with all the utility companies, we can do that.
So community development, thank you so much, Mr. Brandis. Both of those orders will be moved to consent with the board's approval. Item number 3 is community development. Findings of facts and decision in the matter of an appeal of the community development director's decision on the brothers partition, appellants Douglas and Geraldine. No, how do you pronounce that? Geraldine?
I think it is Geraldine.
I think there's an L missing.
Geraldine.
Brothers, owners Douglas and Geraldine Brothers, located at 501 Tequilma Road, legal 40-08-11, tax lot 202. And then there's item number B, which is a forest dwelling refund request for Charles and Teresa Carter. Item number A.
Okay, so this, as far as the brothers' appeal goes, that was, you heard that in June, and that was regarding access spacing again. There's some lots staggered behind each other, so the pattern of development there is everybody has their own driveway. And in this case, Public Works was wanting them to share a driveway. And the board said no. They basically upheld the appeal saying you don't have to meet the spacing requirement. You can go ahead for it. This is one where it was designated who pays the refund. But so this is the final draft, and if you're okay with it, it'll move forward for next week's consent calendar.
I don't have any objection to moving forward. I need to take some time to review it.
I wasn't on the initial hearing, so I'll abstain from. I'll let you guys comment on it.
So we'll move it from the consent. Well, I'm not sure. We'll just have it on the administrative item, and you. Pretty easy.
Okay. The next one is an interesting one. We don't refund, normally do not refund fees unless some extenuating circumstance. The only way we can refund fees is to go through the board. And what we had here was a case of some people, they did everything right. They came in to, they had a VA loan. They came in, they went through all their site approvals. They invested in, I believe it was the water test, the septic work, everything. And as they walked into closing, they found out from the VA that they couldn't use the access that was given to the property. So basically, they couldn't proceed in buying the property. So they invested all of this money, and through no fault of their own, at the end was told the deal can't go through. It was... Like I said, they put about $14,000 into the property. They come out with nothing. They were asking if they could at least get a portion of their fee returned to them. I did explain to her we did all the work. The money's been expended. I don't, you know, so normally we'd say not, but this may be one of those circumstances where the board may feel that it should be refunded or some of it be refunded. So that is what I'm asking you to consider.
Ms. Schmelzer brought this to my attention, and really... you know, the bottom line is it impacts negatively her budget. And so it's, in my opinion, it really needs to, the way, the recommendation of the director of whatever department really goes a long way in making my decision. I think you've worked with these people and know that their intent wasn't to try to skirt the system or abuse it in any way. They really had the intent, like they're putting down their money in good faith and expecting a product. And, you know, try not to gamble with public resources being appropriated to a project. But
that's correct. You know, we deal with a lot of people who all at once they change their mind. I can't
that's
help you with
okay.
that. I can't help you with that. But in this situation, through no fault of their own, this project, this property got pulled from them. They've invested all this money, and to be honest with you, I'd rather, again, it wasn't their fault, and I'd rather work with them to let them know that we're willing to work with them to hopefully keep them interested in finding property in Josephine County instead of moving on. And to me, I think this is just one of those circumstances where we cut the loss of $2,500 in the staff time to show that we are willing to work with people, that we are sympathetic, and that we want their business.
You're recommending it. I mean, and you know the impact. I'm okay with that. I understand it's out of no fault of their own. That's a tough one.
Yeah,
at the same time, does it set a precedence for other folks that maybe takes us down a path that we don't want to continue.
Well, since I've been here, I've had many people ask for refunds, and I flat out told them I would not even bring it to the board because it's a matter of changing their mind, or they forgot to do something on the schedule of when stuff has to get done. These people did everything right up until they went in to sign for that VA loan.
Seems like an exception. You don't bring these very often.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I think I'd use your discretion as to what warrants bringing it back or not. I mean, you're the person that's one-on-one with them.
Right.
And you can tell if they're, you know, if they, that's a lot of it there.
Yeah, it's face-to-face reading
the
people.
They're legit, and they're, you know, you feel they've been wronged, I guess, or just fell into a circumstance that they couldn't avoid.
So we'll, I think we can move that forward. And frankly, I'm not sure if that's necessarily something that is a weekly business session deal. It falls under the threshold, I think, of her discretion. But I appreciate her you bringing it to the board for clarity and direction. And so whatever internal financial considerations have to be made, I think the liaison and the director can make those. So there are statutory things when people pay taxes. And you might remember we just passed a board order this last year that gave the authority to the treasurer and tax collector to refund a higher threshold. But it used to be $10,000 or more had to be brought before the board. That's a statutory thing, that those kinds of things governed by an internal order. And I think we're good on this one. So.
Yeah, our code talks about waiving fees, they can only be waived by the board and things of that nature. And this one is a gray area, so I just wanted to make sure we understand. So no further action on that. We can go ahead and refund
it? Okay. In my opinion.
Thank you.
Without objection of the board.
Okay, well, you're done. I'm going to go get my mouse. There's a movie came up on my screen. I don't want the movie today.
Juvenile Justice is next.
That's Cortana. It's the likely of Surrey on the Microsoft. So you can tell it what you want. It'll find out on your computer. Hello, Sean.
Hello.
Ms. Martinez, how are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good.
Thank you. So you have before you...
Let's just hold off until Commissioner DeYoung's back.
Okay. If you don't mind. I was just out at the fair.
How was it?
There wasn't very many people, so it was good.
First day in the middle of work day, it's not always...
It's warm out, though.
It's not too bad. I walked down to G Street and back, and...
I'll be there in 4 hours.
I'm in a tie. It was tolerable. If I were in shorts and stuff, I think it'd be really great. You going out tonight?
Uh-huh.
Good.
Yeah. Are you going to be at a booth?
Here?
I'm going back out there, too. I won't. You can drive me to my booth.
Okay, we are ready to go with grant agreement number 154963 between State of Oregon Public Health Division, Health Promotion and Chronic Disease Prevention Section, and Josephine County Juvenile Justice Substance Abuse Prevention.
Yeah, so this is a new contract coming to the program because the state has split treatment dollars and prevention dollars up. So normally we have the county IGA that I bring before you that does the treatment and prevention. So this they've just split it. Treatment now is under public health, health promotion, chronic disease prevention section. And so it is $310,000. The budget's been submitted to the state and approved. We'll do an RFA process for $150,000 over the biennium to target evidence-based prevention education curriculum in the schools, and then parent education.
Are there any, actually I should defer to the liaison. Do you have anything?
I'm still, you can ask. I'm okay with this, but if you have questions.
Are there any deliverables we talk about in evidence-based practices with the community reinvestment?
Justice reinvestment
dollars. There was a certain percentage that had to be allocated to capturing data to say, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, you invested this money. What's the bang for the buck? Are we doing that? Is there a statutorily, are you required to do that? Are we making sure we're tracking number of people that might have been influenced by these?
We're not necessarily statutorily.
Okay. That was provided for in the justice reinvestment of 8% or something like that.
It's actually 3% that they take right off the top of justice reinvestment allocations. And we were one of the selected counties for that, and it goes straight to an employee that was selected to do that. So we're not doing the function. We just had 3% of the amount that was allocated to us moved to it.
Okay.
There's a state database that has to be reported into. There's a little bit of transition between going from Oregon Health Systems to Public Health, so that the data collection piece isn't quite there yet. But we use the Oregon Healthy Teen Survey, Student Wellness Survey, and then usually I track every event that we're doing as far as change. When I'm talking about SMART Moves, which is the evidence-based curriculum that we have been doing at Three Rivers and Grants Pass School Districts, there's an evaluation component to that, as well as the Strengthening Families program. There is an evaluation piece to that, so we can have data collected on those programs.
It'd be really interesting to track how the decriminalization of the possessions and Measure 91, being past, how are we doing, with stuff?
Related to that, it has resulted in an increase for our Juvenile Justice Department having referrals of a higher percentage of juveniles using cannabis, with the belief it's legal, no. It's acceptable, it's not a problem. They've had an insurge, and one of the results of that is they've actually hired an alcohol drug counselor to be a PO just running a caseload for these folks that are using substances as juveniles, because it's got to the point that it's enough numbers to justify a staff person in-house to address it. So it has shown an increase of usage in the community.
What's so crazy is there isn't a capacity at a local level to pay for that. I mean, you would think that at least
shifted the burden.
That at least we could try to pay for some of those those new.
There is one piece of the survey. I'm sorry, I didn't.
Go ahead, you're talking.
Josephine County Foundation just came and did a presentation with us a week or two ago, and one of the things they said they were trying to highlight was surveys in the schools for usage, which sounded familiar because that's a survey that I know your department does already.
Mm-hmm.
And I had suggested that they coordinate with you so that they're not duplicating the same survey. They had expressed that they felt the survey we were currently doing maybe was stagnant and didn't really get information, but it might be statutorily required what questions are being asked. But they said they would be reaching out to you or have tried to reach out to you. And so my hope would be that they not be discouraged from doing whatever they're doing, but it can maybe be something in addition to what you're doing so that we're actually getting information if we're not already getting it. If possible.
Well, my understanding is that is just for tobacco use survey is
okay.
happening. And so it's not something that we're mandated to do. As far as the state does the Oregon Healthy Teen Survey, and they also do the Student Wellness Survey, and it's odd even years that they happen. Going forward, I don't know that they'll both happen, but that's our measurement tool for past 30-day use. That we've had in this county for the past 8 years. Prior to me coming to the county, there was not really a survey in place that measured the whole not just A&D, but it's sexual health.
It's comprehensive.
Yes, thank you.
Which is the piece of why we thought the community health workers piece would be a good fit for
right.
your division.
Yeah.
I think it's also important that when we're asking students to talk about stuff, that we don't find ourselves in the BR&E survey, that it's 2 hours long to fill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It has to be something that they
yeah.
can track. And there's so much information we want to know, and it's, what do you call it, confidential. Like, we don't have the names of anybody, but I think if you didn't do it confidentially, you're not going to get an accurate. People, they're filling it out, and I think it's probably pretty spot on to what's actually going on. Did you use cannabis in the last 24 hours, 1 week, a month ago?
Yeah.
I don't have any problem saying yeah.
Yeah, I think statistically they come to the conclusion of what the rates are for our county. And what I can say is that our 8th grade rates have actually gone down versus our 11th grade has gone up. So I haven't seen the 2017 surveys yet, to see if that has changed.
Because the 8th graders got to 11th grade.
Yeah, well, there's that transition going from middle school to high school and not having the resources to fully have a comprehensive program from kindergarten to 12th grade.
I think it's really important. You can't almost start too young. You hear stuff that's, you know, that's going on, and it's crazy how they're exposed to stuff that...
The highest risk we're seeing, though, is exposure to meth and some of those drugs as early as 10 years old, 12 years old, as far as beginning regular use. Usually it's exposed through parents. And so, honestly, getting that education going sooner or reaching out and trying to impact. And if we can keep somebody from using methamphetamine at 10 years old or 12 years old, that person is developmentally stunted at that age. And so we'll have adults that have the mentality of a 12-year-old running around the community because they started using there and it stopped developing their brains, essentially.
What drives a 10-year-old kid?
They're not. Their parents are giving it to them.
The culture, yeah. I mean, it is, you know, how if you're living in a family that has substance abuse around the house and it's not a big deal, or it is a big deal.
There's a parent out there that wants to see his kid hooked on meth.
Yeah. Sadly, I've had lots of people that become that I've supervised and talking with them about where their first exposure, when they were introduced to meth, oftentimes it was their parents or a friend's parent at that age. It's horrifying.
Makes me think of forestry when I hear that. Need to go for a ride in the woods.
So, yes, anyhow. It is sad, but I think the other piece that you were saying about them being safe to give the answers, so what do we do with that information when we find out that information? How do we make sure that we're developing things that maybe have an impact?
Well, then that's where the prevention plan comes in, because we look at that data and see where the highest needs are. The school districts don't have to share the information, but the partnerships that we've created with the school districts allow us to look at individual schools and what's the greatest need. Maybe there's more alcohol prevention needed in one school, marijuana in the other, and then we have our opioids that are overcoming.
Is there anybody on the committee? I'm thinking of like students. So I was part of developing a program. I don't want to mention which one, but I was the first student in the state of Oregon to attend when I was in high school, and it was the understanding that all these adults are trying to prescribe some sort of a program to work at getting kids to not do something that they were inclined to do. And it was like, no wonder you're not really connecting with your audience, because you aren't your audience. It's important to have your audience part of the conversation when, I don't know if that's something you guys are looking
at. Yeah,
so
we have our focus team council
style
group. Really, I always encourage the youth to speak up. Tell us what's going on, and put them in an environment that is helpful to them and not a room full of adults that have their mind made up or dictating how or what needs to happen. Yeah. But you have to listen to the students.
Out of a 1,000 kids, just no 5th graders or 12th grade, I don't care what, out of 1,000 kids, what is the percentage of people that have some sort of abuse, whether it's methamphetamine, alcohol, tobacco, or whatever?
Off the top of my head, I would say alcohol is the number one abuse drug, and that's anywhere from 30% to 42% when you're talking about 8th and 11th graders. Methamphetamine, cocaine, less than 1%. Marijuana is about at 18%. Those are generalized numbers that are off the top of my head.
And we're also focusing on, these are kids that are still enrolled in school. It's not capturing
those
that have dropped out of school,
right,
because maybe things have already gotten too bad.
Yeah.
And one of the key components in community corrections, a factor is 10th grade completion. So if they have finished the 10th grade is an indicator of future criminality. And so it's interesting that they're focusing on 11th graders, because oftentimes if it's already on the path, they've already dropped out by that time. So.
Well, in our prevention plan, in past years, we focused on high school, and then we went down to middle school, and we're really looking at middle and elementary. So 5th and 6th grade is where we really want to focus. because usually by the time kids get to high school, they've already decided whether they're going to use or not use, or they have. So yeah, it's a culture change.
Do you ever get anybody like a parent that says, I don't want my kid exposed to any of it, and you're exposing them to it?
Yeah, I have had people that wouldn't come to, we had an underage drinking evening speaker presenter, and they felt their kids were too young to hear.
What's crazy is they're not, I've heard that too when I was in school, and it's like, what do you think they're talking about at school?
Yeah.
I mean, they're only getting one side then, so.
Well, and the conversation doesn't have to be don't drink alcohol. The conversation can be around the culture of, are you making good choices? If somebody's drinking, do they make the good choice? If somebody's smoking marijuana, are they making a good choice? You know, what's the brain chemistry? Your brain's not fully developed till you're 27 to 30 now. Is what research is showing us.
I'm still waiting for 45.
You just answered a lot of questions. Thank you. Oh, I know. I can move on now.
So, you know, a lot of parents feel like the discussion you have to have with them is like, don't do this or don't do that. And it's really having dinner together three times a week. Simple, easy things that it's just that awareness that needs to happen.
I forgot. I have a 2:30, just so you know. That was scheduled before the admin got moved.
You know now.
So.
My advice to kids is don't, whatever you do in life,
I just saw the time.
Is it going to make your mother cry? If it's going to make your mother cry, don't do it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, sometimes they've already made the choice in it.
Or you have a mom like mine, when you do something sweet, it makes her cry, and then you're really in trouble.
So this will be an administrative element, and it would be probably a good idea if you can, in your schedule, to try to make the weekly business session.
Okay.
If not, sending something to Commissioner Morgan to have it presented would be fantastic.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Very much.
Item number 5 is human resources. We have a request for a job addition in community corrections and in the sheriff's department. 4, if I remember correctly, in community corrections, and 1 in the sheriff's department.
Yes.
Kind of a cut out in the budget, brought back.
Yeah, so I'll start with the sheriff's department position. In last year's budget, he had an administrative assistant in his budget. This year, he kept the position and changed it. He put it into civil because a lot of the work was being done in civil. But with the levy passing and the workload in civil being so extreme, he realized that, gosh, I really need the position back where it was, but I still need the civil work. So what he wants to do is add a position back, the old position he had, keep the civil position where it was. I think it was booking clerk or something, or civil. I can't remember exactly what he turned it to, but he wants to add the position back to really meet the needs of his administration. He really has one administrative person currently, and that's just not enough. He needs the other position. Arthur's looked at the budget. They can afford it. So it is an addition to the budget, so it requires board approval. So, moving on to community corrections.
Any objection from the liaison?
Yep,
no.
I've already
endorsed it.
Yeah, Nate was in and we talked about it, just make sure that it didn't exceed what he was getting from the state.
Well, he's talking about
the
Dave.
Sheriff.
Oh, the sheriff?
Dave.
Yeah, I haven't talked to the sheriff about his.
If you don't object, I don't object, and it's on the administrative.
Yeah. So, and then
we
Nate's.
Knew a lot of this stuff was going to come up from, you know, when we're with the budget passing.
Yep.
Yeah, and he actually tried to be frugal and not have it, but in looking at the logistics of the work, he really needs it. So,
well, if it's not working out now, can you imagine when he has
full staff? Yeah, so it is something he needs. The other 4 positions are due to increased funding to community corrections. As such, he would like to add 4 more positions. Again, totally funded by the funds that have come in. A lot of it is a result of diligent work in properly classifying the offender group to maximize the returns. So we're one of the only agencies that actually saw an increase, and it was the result of that work. So the POs did a good job of, you know, classifying people where they ought to be.
What's crazy to me is the number of people they supervise, and I think Commissioner Moore can probably testify to this, and really it's already in a cost-effective way because they're not behind bars. And then are we doing everything we can so that the recidivism rate is as low as it is? It really comes with supervision and holding these people accountable outside of jail or prison. And if you don't have the staff to have it at a manageable rate, you're not doing anything. You're just moving the deck chairs. So that the state is willing to contribute, we've done a good job here, and I think we've We've got 1,000 people or something like that that are being supervised in the community outside of the prison system. That's huge. That takes people.
Well, and some feedback the state has provided in the last month as well. They were here this week doing some stuff with time study stuff, and then they had the parole probation week that you got to attend. Some of the comments from the state director, deputy director of community corrections, was that there's something unique and special about the community corrections department in Josephine County, where they go around and visit the offices around the state and see how other ones, that there's something in the atmosphere there that is unique, mm-hmm. and it's special. And they said, you guys have something good going here, and you're getting things done. And it's kind of neat to have the state recognize that.
Well, I think one of the things, and just going over there to their potluck, Nate creates enthusiasm in his department, and everybody responds to that.
I think there's been a legacy of that. And when you look at the stats for the justice reinvestment, like we were talking about, why is it that other counties are struggling to meet those, you know, merit of spending the money? When I was looking at those stats last year, probably a year ago, our comparative counties or regional counties, they weren't doing as well as we were. And we were really hitting it out of the park. And so, it's the atmosphere. It's not as though our clients are any easier than anywhere else, that's for sure. I think there's probably more of an atmosphere to recidivate here, and just the drug culture challenges. Thank you very much. I think we'll approve of these. These will both be administrative elements as they affect the budget and their new elements. So we will move them forward. And if you wouldn't mind being there to discuss those,
okay.
I think that would serve the county, serve the board well. Item number 6 is airports. Mr. Graves is going to be making his way up. Item 6A is a contract between Josephine County Airports and Copeland Paving Incorporated for airfield lighting, electrical improvements, and apron paving reconstruction, phase 2. Item number 6B is task order number 3 between Josephine County Airports and Precision Approach Engineering for airfield lighting, electrical improvements, and apron paving reconstruction, phase 2 services during construction. And item number C is contract between Josephine County Airports and the FAA for AIP grant 3-41-0011-008-2017, airfield lighting, electrical improvements, and apron paving reconstruction, phase 2 construction. Mm. Sounds like everybody's got a part to play.
That's a mouthful. Yeah. And
next time I'll have you. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well,
it's my job.
As you've all had the pleasure of at least looking at the cover, hopefully looking through it, this is an FAA compliant grant application.
That's what it looks like.
One. Yeah. So we are fortunate to have received this grant offer, which is item C. I'd like to address them in reverse order, if that's okay with
Absolutely.
You. Absolutely. Because the other two are contingent on the grant acceptance. So this is something that's been needed for quite a while. It's been in the works for a long time. We did receive a design grant last year, and that was executed and resulted in all the engineering design and environmental findings that affect this construction grant app. So it's typically the way they do these things. They'll do them in a two-step process. So Copeland was the low bidder on this, and the FAA and Precision Approach Engineering concur that their estimates are reasonable and hopefully will come in less than. So I would ask simply that the commissioners approve this acceptance of this grant and then approve the two subordinate contracts that we need to put in place to execute the work with Precision Approach Engineering. They're going to be providing on-site supervision and services during construction, essentially is what they call it, SDCs. And then Copeland Paving, our local contractor, who is, they've knocked it out of the park this year with their bids. I think they made a decision that they were going to get these jobs if they possibly could. So they've actually won 3 now with us just in the last few months.
Wow.
Yeah. And
that's excellent.
I just
they've got
received
a lot of competition regionally with Knife River. And
they do.
A bunch of other.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was very glad, first of all, that they were bidding in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then there's quite a bit of electrical work in two of these grants that Copeland has recently won, and they've brought in local contractors. So Jerome Cordiero and Mike Gatt Electric, who are local, will be doing the electrical work on the parallel taxiway job, which grant offer we just received about 2 hours ago from the FAA. So I'll be bringing this one back to you. It'll be a similar packaged thing, if that's okay. I mean, if you think that makes sense. So I thought it made sense to have all three contracts brought together as a package because they basically represent how you execute this document.
So. Well, you live in that world. So.
Yeah, and so it's my recommendation. This is very reasonable, and even the FAA was enthusiastic about this.
Can you talk about the timing element? There's a paving component of this project, and I know that
there
September...
is.
Typically, September 15th is, for our internal public works paving projects, we don't really pave past September 15th.
Right.
And so
right.
There's a timing element, I think, associated with this. That
right, and that's addressed, that's been addressed in here, but also in conversations we've had where we actually will say that to Copeland, gee, we're likely not to get the offers until August, and it may be 30 days before, you know, you are able to stick a shovel in the ground after the commissioners accept these grants. So how do we get this work done before the rainy season comes in? Well, you know, Copeland is in control of their own fate when it comes to hot mix, and so they're able to, they have an advantage
yeah.
over some of the local paving contractors. Because they can decide to keep a job open later. So that's how we address that. And then they've worked out with concrete contractors the ability to get the proper mix to the FAA specifications. And the big challenge on this job regarding concrete was that the concrete contractor has to agree to get the mix on the ground no later than 60 minutes after it is mixed. Well, they're coming from Medford. And they're going to Illinois Valley Airport.
Oh, you can't in 60
Correct,
minutes.
Yeah. So then we go back and forth, and we have a lot of conversations. And this is just, you know, one little
one
tiny
element.
Detail in hundreds of elements, you know. And so we get the FAA to agree to a different mix and a different specification of finished concrete, and which will be perfectly adequate and will do the job. But it allows us to work to a specification. So, and just, you know, it's just a million details like that that have to be ironed out in order to arrive at this great American novel. then the third contract would be the actual contract for the work that with Copeland. And then Copeland has subs. They're going to be bringing in subs, and they'll be subcontracting with them. Everything they do is all reported on a weekly basis in terms of progress, the amount of labor, BOLI wages. You know, everything is done to federal specifications.
Is this all prevailing wage?
Prevailing wage. Prevailing BOLI wage. And so, yeah,
right.
Guys love working on these jobs because they get paid more than standard. Yeah.
More than anybody we know.
Yeah.
Davis Bacon is the prevailing wage. BOLI is the organization
yeah, okay.
who oversees.
He's regional.
The whole process.
Right. In other words, prevailing wage might be $35 an hour in Portland, but that doesn't float down here. So they come down here and take average wages in your surrounding area and say, this is what.
Davis Bacon
yes. is determined
right.
at a grant threshold level of over 50,000. So I'm sure this
and they,
is.
And they
well
sign, yeah,
of
they
that.
Attest mm-hmm. to the fact that they're doing that properly. And,
yep.
And,
yeah, I used to not do any of those because the paperwork was just.
There you go. Yeah.
I have a question about timing.
Sure.
You know, when you came to our last quarterly update of sorts, you said there's going to be a lot of these coming through quickly, and
yeah.
we agreed to kind of get them through quickly.
As fast as possible.
We were aiming to try to get it on the weekly business this morning, and we just needed future reference. We need to make sure we actually document it, not just say other. We actually have to list it. We had the time to do it. It was over 24 hours notice. But it didn't quite go that route.
It did get translated properly into the agenda.
It was one of those things I didn't catch it. It was, you know, so as far as not just saying it under the other section, it was
sure.
that we needed to delineate it under the other.
Understood.
But so if this goes a weekly business session next week, are you asking us to actually approve that today, or does it only go to weekly business session?
Well, I would ask that if there is a legal way to do it, that we approve this today. We've discussed this in previous administrative sessions, and
we've just been waiting for it to get here.
That's exactly right, and it's an artifact of timing.
So it has been the practice of the board to approve things here when there's a need to, timing-wise. I see this as a paving project that needs to happen in a timely fashion. We've been waiting for it. We've been discussing it. It was actually part of your budgeted programs that
yes. were
providing you revenue. So it's not a new concept. What we would do, what I would recommend that the board do, is approve accepting the contract and the task order number 3 in the contract with Copeland, but ratifying all of these elements at the next weekly business session. And those will be on the administrative calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're available, one or both or somebody can speak to that. That's how we would handle this in my recommendation.
Sure. Okay.
That way you can get moving. And, you know, with all of these things, my worst case is probably, well, yours, it could be the fence project of something, even though that looks really large, there were elements that were changed. And so this is best case scenario. It happens in 30 or 60 days. There could be wrinkles when pry open the hatch and find, well, wait a second, what we thought was in there is not exactly what it is.
Yeah.
We have to go back and do this amendment to the contract for blah, blah, blah.
Now, we've had Precision Approach has actually come down to Illinois Valley twice for presentations to the advisory board and to the public. And those have been publicly noticed. And so there's been quite a bit of information pushed out, you know. So.
I support it moving forward with us approving.
Did you just make a motion to approve items 6A, B, and C?
I did make a motion to that with a ratification next Wednesday, but for approval to go forward with them today, granting the contracts and the task order.
Okay.
And then last detail. I'm sorry.
I'll second that.
Thank you.
Any further discussion?
Yes, thank you. The FAA requests that the full board provide authorization to one member to sign this contract, and they have only one signature block.
And I amend my order so that chair can sign on behalf of the board. My motion amend the motion to have the chair sign.
You accept second. That friendly motion,
yeah.
amendment?
That's the chair will sign for the board.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. I'm just wondering if it's the chair is the right person or the liaison. It doesn't matter in this situation, but moving forward, let's figure out who's the best person to know the
sure.
changes that happen. Because once the person signs on behalf of that, that's the person who needs to keep doing it. If I'm not available and she's on page with you, then I don't need, whatever. So,
okay. I appreciate that.
Any other further discussion?
Nope.
Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously with 3 ayes. And we'll expect this on the admin next week on Wednesday. Thank
Great.
You very,
very
much.
Very good. Yeah, thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
and I'll be
huge.
Back soon with this next
cool.
one. We'll be sending in
exciting.
Agenda item request to Wendy here. So
this is exciting.
It, yeah, it is. It's very good.
I'll work with her on where it goes. It shouldn't go under other. It should find its way in
yeah,
the agenda.
Yeah, and I've had a discussion fine. With legal about how we do that. And it was just the mechanics of
sure.
this coming in last week after the admin session was already over that
yeah.
would have put it on today's WBS, and
okay.
that was the problem with it. And I've told the FAA, hey, if you're going to get these to me, try to get them to me before a Wednesday, and
yeah.
they go, yeah, right. You just tell that to the locomotive and
yeah,
stand
seriously.
There and talk to the waves and get
it
them to stop.
It happens when it happens. Yeah. We'll acquiesce.
It's, like,
it's the FAA. We get it.
Yeah. Thank
we
you very much.
We just want to get
we'll
it done.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
My son works for the FAA. If you need anything done.
Yeah.
He does.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's headquarters. Yeah. Good.
Okay.
And if you guys, you commissioners, would desire to get rid of these, let me know and I'll take them. Because
okay.
they're handy references.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's
at least one. Yeah, there's one for the journal. I know you need one.
I'll go ahead and read that first and then I'll get back.
Thanks, Mr. Graves.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Anything else that should properly come before the board at this time?
Speaking of airports, I was talking to Aaron Kubik the other day about the water situation, and he's working on that.
Oh, great.
A possibility that I told him, I said, we're not gonna lay off on you. We want water to the airport and industrial park.
Good.
End of conversation.
Well, I don't know that it's really, it ultimately is up to them, but it's ultimately up to probably DLCD, and mm-hmm. we need to, What's really nice is I know the director really, really well, and I know the member, she's the chair right now. Mm. And before she's done, we should probably have that that needle
thread. I would love to have both of us on board, both entities on board.
Advocating to DLCD.
Well, plus DEQ, because DEQ, there's a big piece that's happening right now, yeah, which has to be in place, which is the wastewater. Yeah. You know, the wastewater, how you handle all that, and we're about to start test holes out
I think
the
we can thread that one. Yeah. That one's going to be easy. It's the idea of utilizing city water, city paid for this, to service people who have no nexus on recapturing costs of infrastructure improvements that you know. And that actually, for me, is an argument of, well, why wouldn't you try to find some people to pay for that infrastructure by utilizing it?
I brought up to Aaron the fact that they're selling water to outside their jurisdiction already in a card lot for the growers.
Yeah.
Tons of water, and they're thinking about putting another card lot on the other side in Merlin because this one out in Newhope is way more successful than they ever dreamed of. So they want to put another one over there. I said, now you're really outside the loop.
I see water trucks everywhere, all the time. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and well, I was out to the golf course to the deal the other day for that luncheon. There was three trucks waiting at New Hope on my way out, and three trucks on my way back, and a dump truck with a tank in the back, and a trailer with a tank on it and a pump. So this is not a small deal. But when they say, well, we can't do that because, you know, we just don't know, they've already established that.
Yeah.
In my mind, they've already selling water outside. So why can't we? And I see this where you and I think the same along the line. I've got a huge cost of infrastructure out there. And
nobody paying for it.
And nobody's paying for it.
Yeah.
Because all the water they delivered out to the landfill out there it's free. I think they had to start paying 2 years ago. But until then, they got 10 years for free of city water.
Safety. We have no fire suppression water at either airport.
Standby and health.
Yeah.
Because if you had your water tested out there, you say, you know what, with our water table, you know, we don't know what the health aspect is, so therefore, we want consistency in our water supply, and that's the way to go.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll keep on.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
We're going to put you on the map, Mr. Graves.
Excellent.
More so. Already is. Are you here as the chair of the Mining Advisory Committee?
I'm here at your convenience. Whatever you'd like me to say.
Well, it's good to have you, but I think unless you're here as the chair, we typically don't take public. If you were,
well, I've got something here from the Mining Advisory Committee.
Oh, we'd love to hear it then.
Oh.
Do you have a second?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, come on up, Mr. Dixon.
I think my next one's 3:30, I think.
Oh, this is very brief. I commend you guys for the variety of projects you work on. Anyway, here's a quick report. The Mining Advisory Committee's actively been working for a long time on a mineral index evaluation project, what I call it, trying to evaluate mineral index on Josephine County owned properties. So last week ago, Dave Streeter, the Josephine County Forestry Manager, and I went out and evaluated four properties in Sunny Valley and on Jump Off Joe Creek that the county owns, trying to see if we felt like there was any potential mineral recovery. And our common sense approach was, is at the cost of crushing and hauling and all that, most of the properties that we reviewed in that particular investigation didn't seem like it would pencil. And we also talked to some other people in the crush business, and they kind of concurred.
Is that at today's?
Right.
At today's level. Could change.
Today, so right now, we're just trying to put this, our liaison asked us to get an index together out into the future and see where this may go down the road as history goes on.
Kind of interested in doing is Dave's really good. Mr. Schreeder's program's really good at saying what's on top of the soil. Well, you've got, you know, 10
right.
million linear feet or whatever, board feet. But then we could be giving away a piece of property that's not good at growing trees, and don't you know, under the ground is grade aggregate, grade minerals. Or if it isn't, then we know that. Or if it is, then we put that into the base price of the property, and we're not just giving it away and somebody making $10 million on a property they got for $10,000.
We're trying to get much more scientific and up to speed on what we really have out there, you know, best we can.
Because that won't look good if the board gave something away of value and we didn't do our diligence.
So there was some forestry, and there's some timber out there that should be harvested soon and on some of these properties.
That's pretty sparse out there, though, in the jump off Joe area?
Well, no, it depends on which side of the valley and what. Okay. There's a couple of county pieces that are actually pretty heavily treed because they're on the one side of the mountain. So it depends on where you're at.
Dave's working with the assessor's office to try to say, you know, we could cut the trees off and you've got X value captured, or do you leave the trees, make it more marketable, and just include that in a proportional element of the value. So
yeah, okay.
Even if it is developable or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, what do you do? And the assessor's office is making recommendations.
Well, there's a third factor that Dave and I, because we did this road trip, you know, representing the commissioner's, you know, eyes and boots out there, is the developmental cost of a property. So this one we looked at, it's right on the creek. It's got beautiful big trees. You'd think someone could buy it and build a house, but it's old tailing piles. So, you know, you're sitting there going, well, if I bought this and was trying to put a house in here, could you go in there with a dozer and scrape out and build a house? On this particular land, yeah, probably. But if you cut the nice big trees off, you know, so this is one of those deals where I hadn't figured out quite how to give you an evaluation yet, but we're looking at it.
Did you say it was tailing piles?
Yeah.
But I heard a comment, I think it might have been Mike Bird at one of your meetings down at the Riverside. He says those tailing piles, when it was $22 an ounce, that's one thing. And you say, yeah, it's just that your ounces per ton or whatever it is wasn't there. But maybe it does pan out now to go back through those piles.
Well, I used to think that, but after I've played with this for several years, and even 2 days ago I was talking to...
Worn your fingers out trying to find...
Well, I'll give you an updated real-world conversation. Biencourt's have a huge mine out there, well-known, several prominent local miners, Bruce Crawford and John West and different people mined that before to try to, on that premise.
Do just that, yeah.
Yeah, and guess what? The original guys did a pretty good job, or there wasn't much there, one of the two. So some of those tailing piles out there, you'd think you could go back through them, and also prove the same over in Sumter, big tailing piles. And they thought, well, they had poor systems, and let's go back, and the price is higher. But
that was a statistic.
It didn't really work out.
They only captured 10% of the gold. You're saying that there's probably... they captured 10%.
They got 10% of it, not much.
Or there wasn't much there in the first place.
And the 10% they got was the easy portion of it. The other part is not cost effective
to
even get it.
Well, at some point, you got to be pragmatic, kind of like Dan DeYoung, he's pragmatic, and go, well, if it was still there, they'd still be mining, wouldn't they? You know, it's like they quit. Well, okay, maybe there wasn't there. So we're looking at these.
There's a reason they stopped.
Yeah, there's a reason they stopped. There's also... it's an assumption they were doing well. I think sometimes they were looking to do well, and they worked and worked and worked and maybe did a little and kept going. And it wasn't as lucrative as you might imagine, based on all the massive amount of work you see out there. But we've always thought, well, they got to have been something. They wouldn't work that hard. Well, we're beginning to think maybe they were just didn't have nothing else to do or something. So.
I imagine they did. There's an awful lot of looking before you could find it.
Yeah.
Kind of like hunting.
It is.
Does everybody get a deer? Absolutely not. Yeah, there's sure a lot of people beating the bushes out there.
The goal is not homogeneous. It runs in streaks and pockets. And for instance, when Jack Smith went back out and did the Coyote Creek thing successfully, but he had went out and seen an area that they didn't mine. And he just mined that one little spot, and that paid well. But he knew what he's doing. Other guys would have went broke. The other thing we notice out there that I want to bring to your attention is, and I've been here 27 years in these same areas. This is where I started playing when I moved here. And there's an alarming, and I mean an alarming, increase of garbage and abandoned vehicles on county land out there. It's stunning. And also, we ran across some real dangerous-looking miscreants. In fact, I asked Dave if the forestry department, you know, carried weapons, and he said, no, we're not allowed to. And I'm thinking, you guys need to revisit that. Because I was there, and I had my gun, and I was afraid. And I don't fear easy. There's some creepy dudes out there. And we found an abandoned meth lab out there and a bunch of crazy stuff. So I just wanted to throw that in. That's something I would really encourage the commissioners and the sheriff and the forestry manager to sit down and kind of revisit what's going on out there.
Now, are they just squatters?
Yeah, but they're armed and crazy squatters, and their cars are from all over the country. One car was from Minnesota and another, and Dave had run them off from one county property the day before, and we're out on another county property, and there they are. And he said, hey, you guys need to get a BLM map and figure out where you can get a 14-day permit, because you can't do this on county land. But they were hiding in the bushes and watching us, and, you know, it's kind of creepy. And here's the point. I wouldn't go hunting and fishing out there any longer. When I used to ramble around by myself without a gun, I ain't going out there even with a gun. And that's degrading the quality of our property, in my opinion. The other thing, if you look out the window across the street, you'll see a white truck with a dump trailer. That's mine. Look right out there. See on the other side of the street.
With the stump in the back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just came from Republic. I was going to dump that off. Do you know how much they wanted to charge me for that tiny trailer and that two stumps?
$60.
$53.
Yeah.
And that's for 2.4 cubic yards of construction debris. And my point is, I think that's driving an awful lot of people to throw their stuff out in the woods. And I wish I could find a place I could dump that for less than $53, because that's right out of my pocket.
So this comes back to the charter of the Solid Waste Agency. They garner tip fees. So what they just allocated $1 million to the recycling isn't doing a bit of good for those who are irresponsible and not utilizing tips at all. And so that's really where I see those tip fees going, is to mitigate the challenge, not for somebody to set up a recycling center here. They need to be specific about what are the challenges that are created by collecting tip fees in the first place. Douglas County is going to experience this. They don't have trash in their county because dumping is free at their place, but it isn't anymore.
Now that it isn't.
And now they're collecting tip fees, and that's what those tip
fees
need
to go for. You know, my first thought, though, to my board of commissioners is, dang, if Republic's making that kind of money, maybe there's a cash flow for our county somehow, because they seem to be making an awful lot of money off a little bit of garbage. And I'm hoping, I don't know how it's structured, but dang, if they're making that kind of money off of folks like me and Kim, that's, some of that money ought to be put back in. That's hard.
Their revenues are supposed to be capped at 8%, and anything over that needs to be divided in half and reinvested in the program. And then they can split the revenues over 8%.
Right.
Half goes back into the franchise
fees.
Well, I've watched those fees go up. I don't know what they report to you guys, but I live out there.
Well, the board approves those. Yep. We approve them.
Yeah, we have to set them. Then when they come in, then when they want an increase in fees, they have to bring it to the board or to the city council.
Well, if you guys could start another stump dump somewhere for all the contractors.
If you want to get rid of those stumps, you might call Don Miller at Grass Pass Irrigation District. They're out there redoing that Sand Creek.
They have to
take those trees and stuff and old stump lines and stuff and rebuild that creek bottom.
Yeah, I know all about that.
Then they take rocks and stumps and things like that and put it in next to that pipe to kind of make a different base again and place.
So who do you talk to?
Don Miller is the...
At the
Jeep Irrigation is down there off of Fruitdale and 238, that intersection.
On the corner of Fruitdale and the underpass.
Right next to the gas place where you get your gas.
Yeah, right next to
like Argonne.
Okay. Oh, there's one other thing because I serve you guys, some people call me sometimes about stuff, and I'm like, okay, well, I don't know. This is a direct out on East Crow Road. Mm-hmm. There's a marijuana grow out there, and they've got a bunch of people that's moved in there, and they caught the field on fire during their burn down the neighborhood. And there was two tankers, two helicopters, and ODF&W. It'd be interesting to know how much taxpayer money was wasted on these goofballs out there smoking cigarettes in the grass and caught the whole, almost burned down a guy's brand new house. He just finished it.
That's, they can prosecute people for that sort of thing. And that's really up to ODF, the outside, or the fire protection agency.
So if the neighborhood got with ODF and said, hey, this is, okay.
Yeah.
There was a guy who was operating in California, caught 75,000 acres on fire. He was operating against the regulations, that sort of thing, and it was a huge payout in California for the cost of fighting that fire. So it's,
well,
it's a big deal.
I'll tell this landowner that I asked, and you guys said, hey, you go to ODF&W and file a formal complaint. And
well, one of the things that I think Commissioner DeYoung is the liaison to the fire protection, that whole group. Once we get that board established and stuff, they need to look at comprehensive regulations, and maybe that the board can institute. I was talking to Chief Hoke about this, and when there's a violation that doesn't create a fire necessarily, somebody mowing their grass outside of the hours where they should, it's a warning first off. Maybe the second warning, then there's a $150 fine. I'm like,
$150.
These marijuana growers, they'll give you $200 because they don't have change for $150, because they're just whatever. And yeah. And here's $150 or $200 in advance for the next time I'm a violation of it.
Well,
it
the needs problem to be, is the violation could potentially, that was a little fire they got out right away because
well,
they
if
got
it
off.
Wouldn't have hit their driveway, it'd have went into the woods and it'd have burnt down then the whole Crow Road neighborhood, all those beautiful yeah. homes. Over these guys smoking cigarettes. They're stoned, mm-hmm. and they're smoking cigarettes out on this dry grass.
That's out on Berlin out there?
Yeah.
That's where two old Crow Ranch is.
It's a beautiful place. Burned down the whole flipping neighborhood.
I did all that work on that. That was Ken Roberts.
And I got a guy that just finished about a $750,000 home, and he was with Dan Heater floating, four-day float down the river. And he got a call that the Dern Woods is on fire. He's down in the canyon, can't do nothing about it. Almost burned up his house. So
it's just a tinderbox out there, and I don't think people have, you know. I was out Leonard Road, right by the school out there, and this joker's mowing grass in the middle of the day. It's over 100 degrees. It was like 103 or something that
day. You don't think that lawnmower make a spark?
I called the non-emergency. They referred me to 911. They said there are no regulations in the city limits limiting when people can cut their grass.
Oh, come
and
on.
I said, it's not somebody's lawn we're talking about.
The field of grass is high?
You know, 4 feet high. He's doing it with a push mower. And there's junk and debris and everything out there.
Pieces of metal.
The fire department's here. My friend's house was right here. You won't get here in time to put the fire out.
Well, no.
It would burn her house, and then they. Hmm. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. That's so something the city needs to work on too.
Dave and I are out there trying to figure out common sense
we'll really
answers to
that.
What you guys are interested in.
It's plowable ground, I think, for the Mining Advisory Committee to look at properties we have potentially with aggregate resources on them and say, hey, let's market it. We sold that 11 unusable, basically, acres for public works to Copeland Sand and Gravel out there next to the Mahana site for $250,000. Do you know how many miles of road we can resurface for $250,000? It's not chump change.
Well,
otherwise, it's sitting there
it
as a liability.
Off of your liability.
Yep.
Yeah.
So thank you for your good work.
We're selling off the mother load and don't even know.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking for mother loads, but we don't see any out there. We've done this long enough, you kind of get a feel for what's real and what's not.
Yeah.
We'll keep looking.
But, you know, Dave's
you're absolutely right. There's an awful lot of people did an awful lot of searching and never found it. But that's true in anything. I've watched people dump money into a car, and I go, why did you do that? So, well, you know how rare this is? I said, it's rare because it was ugly when it was on the showroom floor, and nobody bought it.
Well, look at Edsel's. They're worth something now.
What?
Couldn't give away.
I don't know why.
To somebody. I don't know
what. To who.
See you guys.
Thanks a lot. You want to look at our schedule real quick? It's
do I have one?
It's right. It's in Lily's.
I'll grab Lily's right here.
Your turn to attend the elected officials' lunch.
So ready. I've got so ready on Monday again, huh? Oh, she's just coming over to see me. She's coming to see me. Elected officials luncheon. It's my turn to be a host. Host and attend. I got to say where we're going.
So Commissioner Morgan is unavailable? Does she have a meeting or?
Monday, it seems to me, she said she, this is what I said, her, she was going to a wedding in Seattle.
Oh.
And her mom were going to travel back on Monday, but Monday's the eclipse.
She's not coming back. She's going to be stuck there.
Exactly. And that's what she said. Mom, we can't travel until this eclipse. Well, the eclipse is over. I gotta have the official luncheon during. It's gonna be right during the eclipse, isn't it?
Just after the eclipse is technically at like 10:20.
Maybe I'll move it up and we'll do a moonlight luncheon at Tap Rocker overlooking the river.
That'd be fun. You should call and get a reservation.
I better figure out where we're gonna go, hadn't I?
So Ivy Airport Board. I guess she'll either be back by then, probably not. Or whatever.
She's figuring on traveling Tuesday, so.
Okay. So, do we have an agenda for Tuesday's general discussion?
Yeah, it's this gal from Williams. I think you need to call her. She's talking about EFU land, and she has like these 250 signatures. Remember her? She wants to come in.
That was Mrs.
Florin.
Yeah, Florin. I tried to explain to her that it really doesn't, that she needs to go to the state and maybe even talk to you about it, because she's the one that doesn't want to have anything on EFU other than plants in the ground. She's upset because of the greenhouses and the gravel and
that's
the lights.
Right. So she's scheduled for that general discussion. I'm hoping that we can have the discussion about the organization of the board as well. I mean, I don't know how much we need to think about the job descriptions and stuff, but also I'm not really clear on what it is that we said we were looking to hire Ms. Perrin for. I'm not sure that was necessarily what she applied for or the expectation that she had or what that I was thinking that we were doing. You know, not just replacing Terry's position with somebody. I can see it being, we need to talk about what it is that we agreed upon in those two positions, because I think my expectation was a little different, that we wouldn't just replace Terry in that position. So, because I don't think that fits necessarily Ricky's intent,
well,
or what the office
needs. Two full-time people out there. I think both you and Ricky are qualified to do what you're doing.
And at a fairly same level.
But
right?
I don't know whether, it's just like I explained to Lily the other day, or tried to, that I'm not one of these kind of people that for every person you have to have a supervisor
right.
and another title. It doesn't work for me. I mean, if you want to be, you're already stealing a parking place out there for something. Old joke.
Oh, I was going to say, you don't touch my parking.
No.
Those are fighting words.
It was funny.
It was chaos, my friend, before I
came
and people parking everywhere. Away.
No, yours.
Well, let's try to discuss that on Tuesday. I mean,
okay.
Commissioner Morgan's going to need to find a way to get back. I don't want to delay these things, and I think a death in the family is a consideration.
Well, I think she's planning on getting back here on Tuesday, so okay. I'm hoping she's traveling. But she figures, I think she said that after the eclipse, the freeway is going to be jammed.
Before the eclipse, I mean, I would try to drive on.
I'm not going anywhere.
Sunday's not an option.
No.
Monday, I mean, that's what they say. Who knows? It could be Y2K and everything's just fine.
I'm wondering if why somebody doesn't charter a plane around Lincoln City and then fly the same speed as the eclipse all the way across the United States and stay in the eclipse.
That mind of yours.
I mean, people
stops.
Are paying millions and millions of dollars for nothing to just find a camping spot. So why not do that?
I'm not sure if I'm out on Thursday afternoon or not, but that doesn't impact the board's schedule. I can't remember what that's. It's for the SOD subcommittee. I don't know that I'm going to attend that. I'll probably call in. But if that's for the ONC board meeting, you know what? It's so frustrating as the vice chair.
Thursday?
That I recommended, why don't we just meet while we're over there? You know, there was six of the 11 board members, at this AOC meeting on Monday. Why couldn't we have met Monday afternoon after the AOC meeting's in, have a half an hour break, whatever, people need to chill, reconvene, get it done so I can just come back and have, you know, one meeting. But I think that is ONC with the Mill Casino.
Yes.
We'll see if I, yep, there it is, next day. We'll see if I need to attend that. I hear your concern about not being in the office. I'm conscious of that, and I, you know, some personal things I can't avoid, but at the same time, I think it's a real priority. I mean, by expression,
well, I look at it as what's my job? Is my job Josephine County Commissioner? Is my job something to do with ONC?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not ONC, but Association of Oregon Counties. They have a lot of draw on a person's time, and you know, like for instance, like, well, Monday I got to get to AOC, and it's, you know, I'm going to try to not necessarily avoid. I wouldn't mind participating in some of the committees up there, but this year when I go to conference, that's what I'm going to be watching out for, is that I don't overbook my time away from here, because I think the value is here. Until we're comfortable here, I think the value is here for at least somebody to be here.
I can't disagree. I mean, there's been
a lot of time in here when everybody else has gone somewhere else.
Yeah.
It was getting to be the word around the courthouse that, well, just, I had Larry come in, and he says, I need you to sign this stuff. I said, well, I'm not your liaison. He goes, but you're the only one here. And it was, match money for a $180,000 grant. Nobody signed it. And, you know, he said,
You don't have the authority to sign
it. I don't know.
Nobody does.
I don't think so. It wasn't that much. It wasn't very much money.
Yeah. Well, you know, where I've come down in the last 7 years is that somebody needed to do, we needed to be at the mm-hmm. table.
Yeah.
And so I spent a lot of time on the road when there wasn't anybody else willing to do it.
And going into this job, I felt as though I would do the local stuff because I really don't like to travel. Lily enjoys the state stuff, and you like the federal stuff. You're all well-versed in that. You know your way around Washington. I don't. I'm not going to be comfortable. Lily knows her way around the Capitol. I don't even have to drive there. So I don't mind being the local guy. I really don't.
It's also structuring personal time. I mean, you don't work for other board members, but that's starting to get to be, if you take where we're at right now, what we've got on the books, would you mind, maybe we should put that together just to say, you know, like a graph of how many days have you taken off and how many days have I taken off? And not to say that those weren't important reasons, but when we're, like a marriage, you're supposed to be evenly yoked kind of sort of thing. I think that works regardless of whether or not it's biblical or not. You're just kind of on the same page.
Well, and you know, and some of the things that we have, the issues we've had here, is that you and I came to agreement, and then our third commissioner comes in and goes, wait a minute, that is, I don't know what that's all about. So we kind of had to be here. Well, I listened up. We kind of had to be here. You know, that's your time to chime in. And it, you know, it wasn't that way. So.
It's a balancing act, but I don't feel like it's not working for me, and we've got to figure something else out. Honestly, that's where that COO position, you and I can't go talk to her after these meetings to figure out what's going on. And it's not deliberating towards a decision. That's not what I'm advocating for. But it's like, well, this is what happened at the meeting. How do you feel about that? And then at least somebody's carrying that message to the meeting that can speak.
I think we need that neutral party that's just working for everybody. Because right now, truthfully, you know, we can't be talking outside of a meeting.
Yeah.
An open meeting, and that's, we want to honor that.
Is Commissioner Morgan going to that cannabis summit in Denver?
I believe so.
Did the board give her authority to do that?
Okay. Is that the one with that Nate asked her to go to? In Denver, Colorado.
Prep, I think prevention.
I asked Nate about it, and he said, yeah, he did invite her.
Well, I think hopefully there's some benefit to that.
I think we're okay.
Yep. My priority of being in the office by extension, my dad passed away on Monday. I came into the office Tuesday because the agenda was busy. Mm-hmm. And I just I don't know very many people who probably do that, but this is my job. You know, I signed up. I work for all those people to say, I'm going to show up. And it's important to me to do so.
In business, you know how many Christmas days I work.
Yeah.
Just so my employees don't have to.
Yeah. Well, and
what'd you do? Did you have a good Christmas, boss? I said, I had to work on the stinkiest oil furnace in the whole place.
My attitude is that I wear a tie. It's not for you. It's not for actually the people in the office. I mean, the people here. It's for my managers that I want them to look sharp, and they need to show up. I noticed that. I'm not using that as an example, but you know that professionalism that we set the tone for the entire county, and if we're showing up late, we're not showing up at all, we're showing up in tennis shoes, why can't they? You know, I don't have an argument to say you can't, because I've always felt that if I'm going to go out there and shovel, if I'm going to ask somebody else to do that, pick up a shovel and go whatever, I'm going to do it too. Mm-hmm. So that's a literal.
I never ask anybody
to do something.
For me to do something I haven't already done myself.
Yep. Well, we're going to have to thread that needle somehow. Maybe that position can help out.
I think it will.
I think so too. I think we have to try it.
I just get concerned that it takes away from the authority of the board, but it doesn't. That first line says no.
Absolutely not.
So
it can't supplant.
I see the value in it. I depended very, very heavily on Aaron Kubik over on the other side of the pond, just strictly because I could talk to him or I couldn't talk to staff.
Yeah.
I had no. There's only one employee we had over there, and that was
And if future boards want to move in that direction, I'm not comfortable with that. Nobody's going to tell me that I can't go talk to my managers that I'm in charge of.
But see, it's a different form of government.
Totally.
Than it is over there. So.
Well, our jobs are different. We're administrative, quasi-judicial. We do things that the council can't do.
Could never do.
So, well, I don't know that I'm going to move away from that. I cannot endorse the other one. Not that we're having a discussion outside, but I can't spend another general fund dollar. We're dipping into it way more than we could, should, and I'm going to have to figure out with Arthur, how are we going to solve that problem? Because it's going to come home to roost, and I hate creating problems that look like solutions when they're going to...
Well, I always look at the turnover in this office. You've got to have somebody that's
holding the baton.
That to carry through from one day to the next. And that, you know, that kind of person, the person that's here every day.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to run off to meetings or anything. You have to stay right here.
I think when you're hired at that level, there's more of a continuity as opposed to being elected. I can quit tomorrow, and my responsibility is to them. I feel bad. Mm-hmm. That's it. When you're hired, you're kind of like 2 weeks' notices, all that sort of stuff. I just feel like there's more responsibility of being... showing up every day from 8 to 5, being a resource to people. So, anyway, well, if there's nothing else.
That's
so we do have an invitation from NACO, from AOC. I have received, as the public lands chair, to participate in D.C. on a PILT flight, payment in lieu of taxes, September 6th through the 8th. It takes board approval in order to travel outside the state. So... what I would like to say is that between you and I, as Commissioner Morgan's taking a trip to Denver at the end of August, that's a lot of international travel. If we decide between us, and this is a quorum of the board, I'm in favor of one of us attending. Somebody might need to be there. So if you decide that you want to go, I endorse that. I'm not inclined to go. I don't want to. I just got back in July or whenever it was that I was there. There's a real good chance that ONC needs to be back there for forest management. It'll be my probably turn to testify if Tim doesn't. So that's the major one. And that'll be a later fall type deal.
I think on the PILT side of it, I think you're the guy that needs to do it because you've been here the longest. This is important. I agree. It's important. So
well, the potential formula for it, we're at 780 this year. Mm-hmm. We have the potential to go to 1.5 or 2.
Right.
And that solves some of our general fund issues.
And that is in your wheelhouse. So I would encourage you to go on the 6th.
Well, I'll consider and see if I can work it into the
and
schedule.
I know it's probably not timing-wise with, you know, family and whatnot.
Yeah.
Probably not the ideal thing to do, but...
Well, if I can get it to the quickest possible trip, pop back there and pop back.
Yeah.
I'm still young enough where I can do that, but it's
you
getting to
that,
a point where it's still having... I got sick after the last trip back to D.C. That was a little bit more casual than this one would be, so... I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank
Nothing
you.
Else. The board is adjourned at 3:00.